Last Sunday morning, we started a two-part study on the reward of good works. Last week's main focus or topic was looking at the reward for doing good works that we have in this life. And this morning, we want to turn our attention to and primarily focus on the reward for good works that is to come in the next life. Although this is somewhat of an artificial distinction for the purpose of our study, we're going to find those two things linked together. Really, you can't separate them in a sense. What we're going to be receiving as a reward now for doing good works is going to very much be tied to and lead to what will be the eternal reward for it also. But there are quite a few scriptures that do let us know what rewards will be for us in eternity for serving our God and for doing good works in the name of Christ. We want to begin our time of study this morning in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, looking at verses 19 through 21. Verse 19 is the culmination of a prayer that is recorded starting in verse 14 by Paul on behalf of his brethren, not only here in Ephesus, but we can see other passages of Scripture and see that he was praying the same thing for his brethren in Christ everywhere. And this is focusing on the purpose that God has for us as followers of Christ. And so verse 19 really hones in on what our goal is in this life. But then he goes on to let us know what we are trying to achieve for God now and in eternity. It says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, our last point last week was looking at the opportunity we have to grow in Christ, to be more like him when we're doing the works that he did, those good works. And we see that in verse 20. That is what our goal is, to know his love and to have that love in us, to be filled with all the fullness of God. That will only come by our doing the good works that he commands us to do in following him. And is he able to do that with us? Is he able to, by giving us those good works to do, by giving us those opportunities to keep his commandments? And we saw that also, that we are fruitful in every good work, in every commandment of God that we obey. That is a good work and an opportunity for us to be growing and be more like the God that we're serving. But is he able to provide those opportunities to do those works, obey his commands, give us the means to be able to do those things, and then use that to help us to grow and be filled with all of his fullness? I mean, that's a lot. But what does he say there in verse 20? Already anticipating, as if anticipating, some might say, well, we can't be filled with all the fullness of God. But what does he say? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is able to work in us that we can grow to that point. And then what does that lead to in verse 21? That is going to be glorifying him when we walk according to his purpose and we do these good works. We already saw that where we started a week ago in chapter 2, verse 10. That's what we've been created to do. We have been ordained to walk in those good works. But when we do that, who's being glorified? When we are doing the works that God defines and commands us to do as good, who's being glorified when we do those things that he has made us to do and provided us the opportunity to do? We're going to be glorifying him, and that is our job. And what does he tell us there in verse 21 also? That this is the goal that the church has, to glorify God in all these good works as we are growing to be filled with all of his fullness. But that glory we're able to bring him is not just for this life, but as he says, throughout all ages, world without without end. Amen. So part of our reward now is, as we're growing, we're becoming more like the Lord, and we're being filled with more of his fullness day by day as we're following him and keeping his commandments. That's part of our reward now. But that's fulfilling the purpose we're here for and is enabling us to then be ready to bring him glory throughout eternity, which is part of our reward for doing those good works. So it's not only now, but it's also going to be in the life to come throughout all ages, without end. And that's the way it should be. Now, what we need to understand, though, as part of that, it's not just the glory we ourselves are going to bring to Him. Another major point about why we are doing the good works and the reward of it and how it ties into eternity, and this is certainly a point that we could see is part of our reward for doing the good works now as well, but that is by being an example to others. And so as we're being an example of Christ and what a follower of Christ is supposed to be, and then we are obviously partaking of rewards and blessings for doing that right now. But there's also a purpose in trying to influence others. Part of that can also be a reward now, if that is a means that the Lord is able to use to convert others to Christ. And that is part of what our goal is there. But even if that is not achieved, even if someone sees the good works that we're doing for the Lord, and even if they are not convinced in this life, and even if they're not persuaded to follow Him and they don't do so in this life, is still going to go to God's glory. This is something that He brings out in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and is a major part of why God has put us in this world, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So there is part of the purpose of our doing those good works and part of its reward. We're doing those good works that others would see that light shining. Now, we're not doing those good works to be seen of men in order to receive the glory of men. That is something that the Scriptures condemn. But for us to shine as lights in the world by doing the good works that God gives us to do, such that others may see those works that we're doing for His sake, for His glory, that they may also glorify Him, that is part of its purpose and reward. But as we see that, he doesn't mention particularly here when God is going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified now by our good works and also by those who see them if they will follow Him. But we know from 1 Peter chapter 2 that even if they're not converted now in this life, they're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. And so God is going to be glorified for the good works that we do in eternity, no matter what else happens in this life. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at verses 11 through 15. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So there is our opportunity to be an example to the world. And part of that is tied to now. We can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Part of that may be now. But every mouth is going to be stopped on the day of judgment, and also God is going to be glorified in that day by those who have seen our good works. So a major purpose of our doing good works is to shine as lights in this world, and by doing so, to have the opportunity for God to be glorified, if nothing else, in that day of visitation, in the life to come by the good works that we've done here. But we have noted, as we see also brought out in the next chapter in 1 Peter 3, that there is an objective or goal that we would seek by being example to others in this life, that they might be influenced now and won for Christ. This is something that he teaches in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 here in 1 Peter. And in this context, he's particularly speaking to Christian women whose husbands are not in Christ, and how they might be won for the Lord by the good works and the good example that they see in the Christian behavior of their wives. 1 Peter 3:1-4, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That conversation is the word behavior. And he says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And this is not only the goal for Christian women, those who might be married to a husband who is not in Christ at a particular point in time. Certainly that would be their aim by the good works that they do to win their husband for him. But for all of us as Christians, part of our objective and goal as being the light of the world and the salt of the earth and doing the good works that we do is to let that light shine before men with the aim of having an opportunity for others to be persuaded to follow Christ, to become converted to following him by what we're doing. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he lets us know that. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Should the good works that we do provoke some to ask us about that hope that is in us, which is driving us to do those good works? And should we be ready to give an answer when those occasions come? And yes, we should. Now, what if they hear our answer and they reject it? Well, as we saw in chapter 2, they're still going to glorify God in the day of visitation, but some might be won to him now by those things that we do. But nevertheless, whether they are or not, that is something that is our job to do in this world and to do those good works for God's glory. We see this also in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. And we're going to see a good work here that he mentions really on the negative side, a good work, what we should do as opposed to what we shouldn't do, which would be an evil work. The evil work would be the murmurings and disputings that he mentions in verse 14 when he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. This is our opportunity to be distinct in the words that we speak and in our behavior from the world. And there's so many ways that we have that opportunity in doing those good works. But again, we're reminded of our purpose in doing those good works for shining as lights in this wicked world that we live in. In John chapter 13, the new commandment, as it is called here, given by Christ in verses 34 and 35, we see that also as an opportunity for us to demonstrate to the world his love by loving one another as he has loved us. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, and that you have love, if you have love one to another. That is going to be demonstrated to others. The love that we have for each other, that should be able to be seen. I think that was an opportunity we had we got a card for some that saw that last week. But we have many opportunities, not just as a congregation, but as individual Christians, to let our light shine and by our love for each other, showing that love for others to see that. And God will be glorified. Again, he's going to be glorified in the day of visitation, even as we're also hoping and striving to see some will turn to him and glorify him now in this life. James chapter 2, what is the main way that we demonstrate that we are believers in Christ? Well, he's going to deal with this subject here in the second chapter of the book of James. Already in that time, there were some that were teaching falsely about how one is saved or justified and saying that it's by faith only, not by any works, any good works, that is obeying the Lord. Now, we can look at plenty of scriptures in God's Word in the New Testament, many chapters in the book of Romans, also in Galatians and elsewhere, deal with the subject of the works of the Old Testament law and how those do not save anyone today. And those works, yes, we recognize we are not under that law and we're not to follow those particular works. But here he's talking about good works, the works that we do out of our faith in the Lord. And he shows us in this particular passage in James 2 that that's the very opportunity we have to demonstrate that we are believers, that we have faith by the good works that God gives us to do in keeping his commandments. In James chapter 2, we read verse 18, where he says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." The very next verse, verse 19, says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." And then verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" I mean, how are we any different than the devils if all we do is believe and don't obey the Lord and do the good works he's given us to do? We would be no different. They know there's a God. They're not lacking in that particular faith. Their problem isn't that they don't know about God, that he exists. They know that. How many evil spirits, when Jesus was on the earth, confessed who he was? I mean, they acknowledged it readily. He had to tell them not to do that. It wasn't God's will for others to learn who Christ was through the mouth of devils, but rather, as Jesus told the Apostle Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven," when he confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." God's purpose was for him to make that known to men, not devils. But the devils, we see the point, is they knew who he was and said so. And that's what he brings up here in James 2:19. But they don't obey. They don't do those good works. They don't serve the Lord. So if all we do is believe and don't do those good works, then we're no different than a devil. That obviously is not a good thing, and we're not going to be saved in the end if we're like a devil. But what's going to make us to be different is by showing our faith by the good works that we do. And in chapter 3, James 3, verse 13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." That's that word for behavior again. But if we are wise and if we have knowledge, then we're going to show from our good behavior his works with meekness and wisdom. Our works are going to be made manifest to men. Again, we're going to be shining as lights in the world by those good works that we do. And we see that God will be glorified by that. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus went about doing good. And so we are following him and doing what he did when we do good works. That's exactly what he did in his life. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing good. That's what his life was about. Now, if we're his followers, what are we going to do? Well, we should be doing what he commands us to do in Colossians 3, verse 3. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We should have no other life of our own. Our life as our own life, doing our own will, is over. If we're a Christian, that was put to death, crucified with Christ, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2 in verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul's only life that he had at that point after his conversion to Christ was Christ living in him. Well, Christ went about doing good. And so if Christ is living in us, and if our life is dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, then what are we going to be displaying? Our faith in him and his life in us by doing his works, going about doing what is good. Now, this is what is referred to in Matthew chapter 6 as laying up treasure in heaven. And this is where the reward is going to be not only God being glorified and part of that eternal reward that is to come by our good works, for God being glorified by what we do, but we ourselves are going to directly receive a reward in eternity for doing those good works when we follow Christ. Let's look at Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. And Jesus teaches this is how we become great in the kingdom of heaven. And yes, we can be great in the sight of God. And the way we do become great in his sight is by following what Jesus teaches here, Mark 10, 42 to 45. And Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. See, when we follow Christ, when our life is hid with Christ in God, when we are crucified with him, and the only life we have in the flesh is him living in us, we're going to be doing what he did. Well, what did he do? He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And he says, we're great in the kingdom of heaven if we are the servant of all. The more we serve, the more good works we do, we're being more like Christ, and we're going to be greater in God's sight for those good works that we do. The more we do, we're going to be rewarded for that service to him. Back in John 13, where we were a moment ago, looking at the end of the chapter where he gives that new commandment for us to love one another as Christ has loved us, earlier in the chapter we see a demonstration of the love he had for his disciples in serving them. When he washed the disciples' feet, that's the first 11 verses of John 13, where it's included there. But in verse 12 of John 13, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We're going to be blessed if we do that, if we serve each other like Christ showed by his service. And we're not greater than he is. He came to serve others and loved his disciples by serving them. We need to do the same thing and follow that example. And if we do that, we're going to be rewarded for that. And we'll be rewarded now as we're going to be like Christ, as we've already seen. But we're also going to be having a reward stored up in heaven for all of that good that we do for him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, this should be part of the motivation for all that we do. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And how many scriptures do we have that teach us that we're going to be all judged according to our works? So the more good works that we do, the more we serve the Lord, the greater our reward is going to be. We are taught that in God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, we referred to this a minute ago. Let's go and read verses 19 through 21 there. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So every good work that we do, we're going to have a reward waiting on us in eternity for each one of those good works that we do for the Lord. And that should motivate us, knowing that. And there's not going to be a loss of that reward as long as we continue to serve him. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, 24 and 25. And this obviously includes every good work that we do, many of which nobody will know about it except for us and the Lord. There are plenty of opportunities for us to shine as lights in the world, as we've already studied this morning. But there are going to be many things that we do to serve God, obeying commandments that others aren't going to see. But look at what he says in 1 Timothy 5, 24 and 25. Some men's sins are opened beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. It works the same way for deeds, whether they're good or evil. There's some things that people do that are wrong, some things that we've done that were wrong that others could see that were very well known. But not every evil deed is seen by people and known by everybody. But that doesn't mean God doesn't know, and every evil deed is going to be punished by God. Is there anything secret from Him? Nothing. He sees it all, knows all, everything. And He's going to punish every evil. But He's also going to reward every good. So we don't have to make sure that somebody sees or knows about every good thing that we do, every commandment of God that we obey, in order to be rewarded by the Lord, because God knows all of those things, and He's not going to forget any one of them, and He's going to reward us for all of those good works that we do for Him. And there is that eternal reward coming for that. We see this also taught in Romans chapter 2, which is one of those many passages that teach us that we're going to be judged according to our works. Romans 2, 6 through 11, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. We're going to be rewarded according to our works, and he says if we're working good, doing good works, those are the same words, he says we're going to be rewarded by God for that, and there's no respect of persons with him. So we need to always remember every good work that we're doing for the Lord, it's going to be rewarded by God in eternity. So much of that reward many things will be rewarded of in this life, many blessings for following Him now, but there is that eternal reward that is coming. We must maintain those good works though. That's a point that we do not want to overlook. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 13. It says, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. We see the same teaching in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. How many of our little ones don't know every one of those words from a song that they know, which is excellent. But he's telling us right there, don't be weary in well-doing. What happens if we do good works for many, many years, that we are growing in Christ, we're laying up treasure in heaven, but at some point we tire of it all. We get worn down, and the tribulation and persecution that comes for serving the Lord causes us to give up and quit. What if that happens? That's what the stony ground is that Jesus warned us from becoming in the parable of the sower. But obviously there's some that do that. They become offended, they fall away, they quit. Well, what if we get weary, we get tired of it, and we end up quitting? What is going to become of all the good that we did before then? We're going to lose that reward if that happens. And so we're going to have no reward now and none to come in eternity. In fact, we're going to have a worse punishment for that in eternity if that's what happens. So we better not be weary in well-doing. He reminds us we're going to reap in due season if we faint not, if we don't quit, if we don't give up. Then we will have that reward, but we have to continue on to the end. We can't quit. And so he tells us then, as we have therefore opportunity, we need to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, but with every opportunity that God gives us to do a good work, we need to do that. So that we are laying up treasure in heaven and not grow weary in the well-doing, that the opportunity to do well that he gives us. We're going to close in the book of Titus. Let's look at chapter 3. Verse 1. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Put them in mind. Titus was instructed, and this was the instructions he was given as far as what to instruct his brethren in there on the island of Crete. And so he was taught to teach his brethren to be ready to every good work. Well, we need to do the same. We need to be taught that, and we need to teach one another that. We need to be ready to every good work. And then in verse 8, he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Well, when is that profit? Well, we have part of that profit now, but it's profitable to us in eternity when we partake of that reward there too. So we need to be careful to maintain those good works, because that's the only way that we're going to gain that eternal reward. And then finally, in verse 14, he says, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." And we saw last week in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, where he taught us to be fruitful in every good work. Well, here he tells us to maintain those good works for necessary uses so that we don't become unfruitful. We need to continue doing those good works, obeying the commandments of God to the very end of our time on this earth, so that we are ready then to partake of that eternal reward for bearing that fruit for Him. It will go to His glory by many when we do those good works, but we ourselves will receive a reward for following Him, for being filled with all of His fullness, which we're partaking of now, and also that eternal reward that is to come. And so this morning we want to encourage anyone that is here that has not yet begun to follow Christ. This is an opportunity for you to do that first good work in believing in Him and showing your faith by your obedience to Him and to His gospel. This is an opportunity for you to repent, for you to have your old man crucified with Him, so that now you're living to do His will and to do those good works. If you're ready to repent and confess your faith in Christ before men this morning and be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins, won't you come right now? Or if you are a Christian, if you've not been maintaining good works like you need to, if you need to repent this morning, this is an opportunity also for you. Anyone that needs to come, please do so right now while we stand and sing.